Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville. FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to Genesis chapter 41, verse 45, where we left off last time. Genesis chapter 41, verse 45. Last time, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had had a dream, and none of his magicians could interpret it. But his butler remembered that there was a young Hebrew man in prison who could interpret dreams. So Pharaoh had our hero Joseph delivered up to him. And of course, with God's help, Joseph interpreted the dreams. He said, you're going to have 7 years of plenty and you're going to have 7 years of famine. And he said, here's what you do. During the 7 years of plenty, tax the people one-fifth of the produce, let them put it in storage in barns in the cities, and then there will be plenty for you throughout the whole time of famine, and all Egypt will be saved. So Pharaoh liked that very much, and he gave him his signet ring, and he said, Joseph, the Spirit of God is in you. I'm going to make you the ruler over all of Egypt. So there was Joseph. His brothers had sold him and put him in the pit. Then they put him in prison, and now he's in the palace, and he's the highest authority in Egypt. We'll begin right there.
45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephath-Pioneer.
Okay, that means Prince of Life or Savior of Life. Now, in all this beautiful story of Joseph, you want to know that he is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a Savior. God sent Joseph to Egypt. Egypt means sin. And so even though he went through a hard time there, he's going to save Egypt during the famine. And this world is full of sin. God sent his son Jesus to this sinful world, and he's going to save, has already saved us from sin, and is going to save anyone else who will.
And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Pithiatha, the priest of On.
Now, you're going to say, now wait just a minute. Joseph just messed up, because you remember how God worked so hard to keep the seed line pure with Judah and Tamar. God had said, don't mix the seed, keep it pure, because Messiah is going to come through this lineage. Well, it looks like Joseph messed up. No, you have to understand where On is. Egypt was divided into North Egypt and South Egypt. South Egypt was On, where Joseph's new wife, Asenath, was, and that was where the shepherd kings lived. They took care of sheep. You know who they were? They were Hebrew, the same as Joseph. They had migrated there earlier. Now, the Egyptians find an abomination to take care of sheep, but they love to eat them. So the Egyptians would stay in North Egypt, but the shepherd kings, also called the Hyksos, lived in the south. So Joseph is equally yoked. This is very important, because it has to do with you, because the two sons Joseph have got a lot to do with you right here in the United States of America.
And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. 46. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh.
When Joseph was sold into slavery by his brethren, he was 17 years old. 17 years old is 13 years later. And so now here he is, from the pit to prison to the palace. 13 years.
Of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt.
Checking everything out. He's the ruler now.
47. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years, which was in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up.
God protects his elect. God made sure that there was plentiful, plentiful, everything that they needed. You know, the Bible tells us to bring our tithes into the storehouse. Those people were tithing only 1/5. Our tithe is 1/10. But God says he will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you don't have room enough to receive.
Amen.
It.
Hallelujah.
And the same. 49. And Joseph gathered corn as the sands of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number.
Now, Joseph is a great leader. He's very organized, but he cannot count how much grain he's got. God has so multiplied it. And see, that's what God will do. God will bless you overwhelmingly if you trust him and if you obey him in everything.
50. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came.
Okay, during those years of plenty, Joseph has 2 sons. This is important. This has to do with you.
Which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him.
By the way, you remember in the New Testament when Joseph took Mary and baby Jesus into Egypt? I bet you've always wondered about that and wondered why he went where the heathen were. No, that's where he went, to South Egypt, where the shepherd kings were. So they had family there. I thought you'd like to know that. That's a little parenthesis.
And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me to forget all my toil in my father's house.
Manasseh's name means forgetful. Now, don't you forget that.
52. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God, said he, hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction.
Okay. Ephraim, in other words, very fruitful. Now, when we get over to Genesis chapter 49, Jacob is going to bless Joseph's 2 sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And he's going to bless Ephraim and say, you are going to be a kingdom of nations. Great Britain is a kingdom of nations, colony of nations. By the way, Hebrew in the Hebrew is pronounced Eber. And Eber in English is Brit, Great Britain, Great Hebrew. Now, then Jacob will tell Joseph's older son Manasseh, you are going to be a great nation. It's not just a great nation. In other words, you read it from the manuscripts. Wow, a superpower of superpowers, America.
Amen.
You do know that after Sennacherib captured the 10 tribes, not the 12, the two had split, and they migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled Great Britain, called Ephraim, Great Brit, Hebrew, and we broke off and came to the United States of America. But Manasseh means forget. You've forgotten who you were because we forgot the word of God.
53. And the 7 years of plenteousness which was in the land of Egypt was ended. 54. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said.
Okay, now the famine is upon us. Amos 8:11 says, here at the end time, there's a famine in the land, not of bread or water, but of every word of God. I can tell you something, that while there is a famine of the word leading the message in the churches today, book, chapter, verse, and line, you can hardly find a place to go. But if you seek with all your heart, you can still find the word of God. But when Antichrist comes, he's going to stop that because he's going to pretend to be the Savior. He's going to pretend to be Jesus to the Christians, and he'll think you won't need that anymore. So what you want to do is store up bread for the famine ahead. Fill yourself up with the word of God now, and you'll never be malnourished.
Amen.
And the dearth was in all the land, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread.
By the way, history proves that archaeologists have artifacts that tell us that in the year about 1708 B.C., that there was a seven-year really bad famine in the land.
55, and when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried unto Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith unto you, do.
So you see, when you're famished for everlasting life, you know you're going to die, you have no recourse, the wages of sin is death. Joseph is a type of Jesus. Go to Jesus. He has the bread of life. He is the bread of life.
56, and the famine was over all the face of the earth.
The famine of the Word of God is right now over all the face of the earth. Otherwise, we would be hearing of Jesus and the Bible on the television instead of that nonsense.
And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians.
Joseph is such a great steward of Pharaoh. He makes a little profit for him there. The people had the money. They just needed the bread. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not.
And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. 57, and all countries came into Egypt to Joseph to buy corn, because the famine was so sore in all the land.
In other words, all mankind is sentenced to death, but whosoever will come to Jesus and eat of the bread of life and not famish.
Chapter 42, verse 1. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look one upon another? Verse 3, and he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us.
He says to his sons, what are you doing standing around here looking at each other? Go and buy us some food. Now I say, body of Christ, what are you doing standing around, sitting and doing nothing? Why aren't you going and get every word of God you can? Sunday is not enough. That's just one time. There's a famine in the land. There's a whole mystery, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. The mystery, the fallen angels, the order of the trumps, the seduction in the garden, and all there. Why aren't you going and getting all? It's there.
From thence that we may live and not die. Verse 3, and Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt.
Notice it said 10. Wait a minute. What happened to little Benjamin, Joseph's blood brother?
Verse 4, but Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren. For he said, lest peradventure mischief should befall him.
Don't you think Jacob kind of suspected that those brothers had done some kind of mischief to Joseph? They said, no, I'm not letting Benjamin out of my sight. He is the only begotten son of my beloved wife, Rachel. I'm not letting my only begotten son of my beloved wife, Rachel, go.
Verse 5, and the sons of Israel came to buy corn. Among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Verse 6, and Joseph was governor over the land.
Oh boy, there is Joseph. You know, when Jesus returns, of his government there shall be no end. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth.
Remember the dream Joseph had, that the brothers' sheaves would bow down to Joseph's sheave? Look at that, dreams coming true.
Verse 7, and Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them.
He knew them. They didn't know him. See, he was 17 years old when they sold him. He's 30 now. You change a lot between 17 and 30. Besides, the Egyptians had to shave really clean, and he was dressed in royalty. They were much older than Joseph, so they had not changed so much. But he knew who they were, but they didn't know who he was. When Jesus comes, are you going to know him? Jesus is going to say to some of his children, get away from you. I never knew you. You went to the Antichrist. I don't know you.
But he made himself strange to them, and spake roughly unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. Verse 8, And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. 9, And Joseph remembered the dreams that he dreamed of them, and said unto them,
Can you imagine how he felt? Oh, Lord, my dream's coming true. They're bowing before me.
Ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye have come.
Now, Joseph is not mean. He loves his brothers, but they sold him into slavery. He's going to use a little covert psychology here. He wants to find out if his dad, Jacob, is still alive. And he wants to find out if Benjamin's alive. And he wants to find out if these brothers have any kind of sorrow or sadness about what they did to him. So he's going to kind of use a little psychology to get it out of them.
Verse 10, Nay, my Lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. Verse 11, We are all one man's sons. We're all true men. Thy servants are no spies. Verse 12, And he said unto them, Yea, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come.
He has to press a little bit. He wants them to tell him that they've got a father and a brother yet.
13, And they said, Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan.
Aha, just what he wanted to hear.
And behold, the youngest is this day with our father.
Now Joseph knows that his dad Jacob's alive and his blood brother Benjamin's alive. Can you imagine how he felt?
And one is not.
Oh, and one is not. One is not means one is dead. Now, the one who is not is, and he's standing right before them, but they know it not. You know, it talks about the Lord in Revelation chapter 1. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, who was, and is to come. Well, the is not is standing right there before them.
14, And Joseph said unto them, That was it which I spake unto you, saying, Ye are spies. 15, Hereby shall ye be proved.
Now Joseph says, Okay, I'm going to be fair to you. I'm going to give you a test. I've got to protect Pharaoh's land. I believe you might be spies come down. So I'm going to give you a test to see if you really are telling me the truth. That's a good leader.
By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither.
Oh, you can't go back until you bring Benjamin. Well, how are you going to get Benjamin down there?
16, Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison.
I'll put all of you in prison except one. You go and get your brother, bring him back, and I'll let you all out of prison.
That your words may be proved.
That'll be a test. Don't forget, these brothers practically killed Joseph. As far as the father was concerned, he thought that Joseph was dead. They had seemingly destroyed his life.
Whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye be spies. 17, And he put them all together in ward 3 days.
Okay, he locks up the whole kit and caboodle. They're all in jail. Now, why did he do that? Here's why we're going to find out. Joseph had to do something. Here are the brothers. He wants to see his father. He wants to see Benjamin. He wants to find out if these brothers are sorry for what they did because he loves them. He needs to seek God. God, what shall I do here? What's the strategy? How do I handle this? See, don't ever initiate anything except first you saturate it in prayer.
Amen.
So he's going to go off and pray 3 days. It's be a good idea for you to do that before you make any more rash decisions.
18, And Joseph said unto them the third day, This do and live.
Okay, I'm going to let you live. I've got a solution. God showed him what to do.
For I fear God.
For I love God. See, that's the clue. I went to God. God's going to show me what to do here.
19, If ye be true men, Let one of you be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses. 20, And bring your youngest brother unto me.
Okay, let's just leave one of you here. I'll keep him in prison. He'll be okay. All of you go take food to your father and bring your other brother back. and then I'll release this one, and then you can just be happy here.
So shall your words be verified.
And I'll know you've told me the truth. It's a test.
And you shall not die. And they did so.
So they said, okay.
21, and they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, and that we saw the anguish of his soul.
Now this is so beautiful. Don't you know Joseph is happy? If you're going to be saved, you don't get sorry because you got caught. You actually confess that you've sinned. You see yourself as a wretched sinner. Oh, my Lord, we are guilty. They haven't had any happiness. They've been watching their father grieve. They were men of God. They were Abraham's seed. They knew God. They knew, loved God. So they realized that they were reaping what they sowed.
And he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us.
Okay, we're reaping what we sow. You sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind.
22, and Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, but ye would not hear. Therefore also, behold, his blood is required.
You know, you have to admire Reuben. He always steps up. He stepped up once before and kept them from killing him. He'd have them put in the pit. So he says, okay, we actually have sinned, and we deserve to be punished. See, I hope that you just didn't think you were saved because you're so sweet. I hope that somewhere in there you saw yourself a miserable sinner, and you said, I deserve to be eternally lost. But look at God's mercy.
22. And they knew not that Joseph understood them.
They didn't know that Joseph could hear. They were speaking Hebrew. Now, Joseph has been talking Egyptian through an interpreter, and that is good. That's covert activity.
For he spake unto them by an interpreter. 23. And he turned himself about from them and wept.
This was overwhelming to him. It's so beautiful. They are actually saying, we've sinned. They're actually saying, we're sorry we sinned. We deserve to be punished. This touches his heart. It's been so traumatic. He's been so lonely. He's been through so much, from the pit to prison to the palace, and been lonely and longing for his father and longing for his brother. And he loved these brothers. So he turns around and he wipes away the tears from his eyes and turns back to them.
And returned unto them again and communed with them. And took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes.
Oh, Simeon's a lucky guy. Simeon gets to go to prison and wait, okay? Poor Simeon. I bet Simeon says, I wonder if those brothers are going to sell me down the river like they did Joseph. Okay, he's the one.
25. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack.
You know, you just can't buy eternal life. You can't buy the bread of life. We are bought with a price, but not gold and silver, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Joseph, a type of Jesus, gives their money back. He doesn't want it, but he has paid the price through blood, sweat, and tears.
And give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them.
He put some food in there so they could have a snack on the way, and also some food for their animals. What a thoughtful thing.
26. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence.
Off they go, and they leave Simeon. Okay, Joseph's going to lock Simeon up. Simeon is the guarantee. Are they going to come back for Simeon? Are they going to sell him out like they did Joseph?
27. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the hand, he espied his money. For behold, it was in his sack's mouth.
Oh my goodness, there's my money's in the bag.
28. He said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their hearts failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God has done unto us?
See, they know they're reaping what they sowed. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
29. And they came unto Jacob their father, into the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying...
Okay, they bring everything back to their father and the food and there. This is what happened, Dad.
Verse 30. The man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us, and took us for spies of the country. 31. And we said unto him, Nay, we are true men. We are no spies. Verse 32. We be 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father.
Now Jacob's hearing this.
For the land of Canaan. 33. And the man, the lord of the country, said unto us, Hereby shall I know that ye are true men.
Okay, I'm going to give you a test. Dad, he wanted to test us.
Leave one of your brethren here with me.
So, Dad, we had to leave Simeon.
And take food for the famine of your household.
Take your dad some food.
And be gone. 34, and bring your youngest brother unto me.
Dad, he said we got to bring Benjamin back.
Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you, your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. 35.
So he said, the man, the Lord down there, not knowing it's Joseph, he said, we'll let Simeon go free, and then you can come and buy all the food you want. Just bring your younger brother, so I'll know you're telling me the truth. Joseph wants to see Benjamin. They had one mother, Rachel. He longs to have some contact with the son of his mother.
Came to pass as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid.
Oh.
36. And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children.
You have accosted me all of my children.
Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. And you would take Benjamin away? All these things are against me.
Jacob is very discouraged. He's sort of like between a Pharaoh and the deep Red Sea.
Verse 37. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee.
Again, Reuben is the firstborn. He steps up to the plate. Dad, I'll take care of Benjamin. I promise. I'll get him down there and I'll bring him back. And if I don't, you can kill my two sons. In other words, I'm willing, dear Dad, I'm willing to give up my own two sons so you can have your one son.
Deliver him to my hand and I will bring him to thee again. 38. And he said, My son shall not go down with you.
No, I'm not letting my only begotten son of Rachel go.
For his brother is dead, and he is left alone.
I mean, I did have two of Rachel, but Joseph is gone. This is the only one I've got. Have you ever thought how hard that was for God to say, I'm going to give my son?
If mischief befall him by the way in the which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave.
Jacob uses the word mischief again. I think he strongly suspects that they had something to do with Joseph's disappearance. He doesn't want it to happen to Benjamin.
Chapter 43, verse 1. And the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn, which they had borne out of Egypt, their father said to them, Go again and buy us a little food.
Okay, we need some more food. Go buy some more.
And Judah spake unto him, saying...
Now this is Judah. He's the king line. Remember, he was the one that a second time that kept them from killing Joseph. And he said, Why don't we sell him into slavery?
The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. Verse 5. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down.
There's no need to go down, Dad, because we can't even see him if we don't bring Benjamin.
For the man said thereof, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. Verse 6, and Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother?
Why in the world did you tell him you had another brother?
Verse 7, and they said, the man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother?
Remember, that was Joseph. He wanted to know if his dad was alive and if Benjamin were alive.
And we told him according to the tenor of these words.
We just simply answered his question, Dad.
Could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? Verse 8, and Judah said unto Israel his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones.
By this time, Judah and these boys had grown up and they had children. And he said, Dad, if you don't send Benjamin, if you don't send your only son left of Rachel, the only begotten one you've got left, not only are we going to die, but our little ones, our whole family will be wiped out. If Jesus had not come, not anybody except that tiny little group of elect could have had eternal life.
Verse 9, I will be surety for thee.
I'll be the guarantee, I promise.
Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever.
I take full responsibility, Dad.
For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned.
If we hadn't wasted so much time, we would have already been there. We'd have gotten Simeon, and we'd be back with some food. Judah likes to get things done. He's a king lion.
Second time, verse 11. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so, now do this.
Okay, sometimes you just have to do what you have to do. Always do the right thing, no matter how much it hurts.
Take of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry them the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh, and nuts and almonds. 12, and take double money.
Take him a present. You know what King David said? He said, I will not go before the presence of the Lord without a present in my hand. Can you imagine how Joseph is going to feel to see that his dad has sent him a gift? And so he's going to put double money in there to pay for what Joseph had returned and also for this new grain they're going to get. In other words, he's going to see that we're not spies.
In your hand, and the money that was brought again in your sacks, carry it again in your hand. For peradventure, it was an oversight.
Maybe they just made a mistake.
13, take also your brother and arise, and go again unto the man.
Take Benjamin, my only begotten son left of Rachel.
14, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man.
Jacob is a prophet. He speaks a prophetic word, and God will answer that prayer.
That he may send away your other brother.
That he'll send Simeon back also.
And Benjamin.
He loves Simeon too, you know.
If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved.
Whatever happens, I have to do what is right. Sometimes, as you serve God, I know you want the platform, and I know you want to be a star, but sometimes you have to be broken into smithereens, and then is when God can use you. So you just do what God tells you, no matter how much it hurts.
15, and the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin arose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph.
There they are. Benjamin is before Joseph. Joseph has their life in his hand. Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, fear not him who can destroy your body. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. with that cliffhanger, we're going to stop there. We'll pick it up next time. It's time now for Mystery Moment. Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. What a great word, and what a great place to stop, right?
Thank you. Thank you. Now, for time's sake, we're not going to do Mr. Moment today. I needed to finish all of that, but David left his stuff in the bag and his cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
The Lord is unearthing his jewels. He is gathering them together for the crown of life. They shall be filled like bowls covered in Christ's blood as the corner of the altar. And they who save them for this day as the flock of his people shall be as stones of a crown lifted up as an end sign upon his land. Zechariah 9.
Thank you very much, Scott. That is beautiful. Zechariah, thank you so much. That is beautiful. In a few minutes, I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick. But first of all, if anybody's not saved, let's pray the prayer of salvation. Mean it. And God will write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's pray it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess that I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess that I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me, Lord, for all my sins.
Wash them all away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Sanctify me.
Sanctify me, Lord.
Set me apart for holy use.
Set me apart for holy use.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Let me be a blessing to you, Lord.
Let me be a blessing to you, Lord.
And let me be a blessing to mankind.
And let me be a blessing to mankind.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Now, if you prayed that and meant it, in a few moments you'll hear my telephone number, so feel free to call and leave your name on my voicemail. Let me pray for the sick now. Precious Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask according to your word in Malachi 4 that the Son of Righteous arise with healing in your wounds. Let the laser beams of Jesus Christ, healing virtue, flow into the body in Jesus' mighty name, into the lungs, the esophagus, in all that area. All congestion break up and be loosed in Jesus' mighty name. Into the lining of the stomach, let there be a healing going on there. Into the bladder and the kidneys and the backbone of the spine and hearts be made whole. Blood be purified. Our varicose veins be healed. Stop the pain in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, the healing virtue flowing down there. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So if you were healed then, and some of you were, I got mine. You want to also call and let me know about this. Nothing is given you to keep. It's not yours to hoard. Give it away and God will give you some more. So go and tell. And remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. Revelation 19, verse 13. And Jesus said in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. I want to give a special shout out of thanksgiving to Scott Merson for his beautiful Scott stuff. Thank you, Scott.
Well, thank you, Michelle.
We appreciate you and your beautiful family. This is Sherry Medlock. And until next time, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I can't wait till next time, until you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
We are your daughters. Brevard's home for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
It's crowded in worship today. She slips in, trying to fade into the faces. The girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? 'Cause there is a way. There is. Traveler is far away from home, and he sheds his coat and quietly sinks into the back row. The weight of their judgmental glances tells him that his chances are better out on the road. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his are the body? Why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? For Jesus paid much too high a price for us to pick and choose who should come. We are the body of Christ. If we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? 'Cause Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. We are his hand. We are his feet. We are body. Jesus is the way.
Just three chords and a melody won't leave you a living legacy without Jesus. Oh, just four songs and a parable might leave you something terrible. Just $5 in an offering won't buy you some prosperity. Just a six sense of morality won't get you out of your depravity without Jesus. Oh, without Jesus. Crown on the brow of a man from Nazareth. And if all I get is what Jesus did and said and put within my heart, then I get it all. I have it all. Oh, I have it all.
Sing it together. Take us to the river. take us to the river. Take us there in unity to sing a song of your salvation. To win this generation for our King, a song of your forgiveness. For it is with grace that river flows. Take us to the river in the city of our God.
Take us to your throne room, say a melody, let's sing it together.
Take us to your throne room. Give us ears to hear the cry of heaven, for that cry is mercy,
oh mercy.
Mercy to the fallen sons of men. Mercy it has triumphed over judgment by your blood. Take us to the throne room in the city of our God.
It's for the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord.
For the Spirit of the Sovereign.